Illtopia, a visual art series that follows the lives of three characters.
Oh, my house of Israel.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Amish Project, a play running from April 8th through April 24th at the Portland Actors Conservatory.
The Amish Project explores the human effects of tragedy and the profound forgiveness of the Amish after a lone man shot 10 Amish children ages 6 to 13 in their schoolhouse.
Again, that's The Amish Project, a play by Jessica Dickey and directed by Beth Harper at the Portland Actors Conservatory, 1436 Southwest Montgomery Street in Portland.
More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
DMA Roberts Stage and Studio on location at Portland Actors Conservatory with founder and producing artistic director Beth Harper. Hello, Beth.
Hello, DMA. How are you?
So good to see you. And with her are three actresses. Paige Rogers, hello.
Hi.
And Sophie Foti, hello.
Hello.
And also Sammy Pfeiffer, hello.
Hi.
Welcome all, and thank you for allowing me to field record you here at Portland Actors Conservatory. The Amish Project was written by Jessica Dickey as a response to the killing of five girls who were taken hostage at an Amish school in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Beth, how did you come across the Amish Project, and when did you decide to produce it?
Well, every year when we choose our plays, I'm always looking for the plays that are a good marriage to the current second-year students, because performance is such a huge part of the curriculum in the second year. And I was also focusing on women playwrights, because this may be shocking, but women hold up half the world, but not half of the playwrights are women. So anyway, I read every play written by a woman out there, and this one came up, and it was just such an alignment with what was important to me as a human, and authentic human behavior, and the concept of what does it mean to forgive is a huge one. Not sure I know the answer to it yet, but we've sure enjoyed exploring it, that's for sure.
Well, I want to talk about all the issues and reactions that have come up and discussions that usually come up in rehearsal in doing something this powerful. It was originally produced, though, as a solo show. Mm-hmm. And that had Jessica Dickey playing multiple roles,
all of the roles.
Mm-hmm. And so how are you directing and producing it for Portland Actors Conservatory?
Well, we're doing the ensemble production of it. After she did the one-woman show, she also wrote an ensemble version of it. And that's the one we're doing. And we've really, really enjoyed the process of making this happen and finding the voices of these people.
So how many people are in the ensemble?
There are 9 in the ensemble, and there are 11 in the class.
Yeah. In the class of?
The second year students class has 11 students, and 2 of them are doing their theater management practicum during this show. They have theater management practicums they have to do.
So everybody is involved that's in the second year class.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Is it 10? It's 10. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I added another one, split one of the ensemble roles in 2, if you will. So there's 10 of us.
Who are on stage?
On stage, almost all the time, yeah.
Well, that's a lot of people to have on stage, and I got a chance to see the set, and it's fantastic. Tell me about, let's go around and talk with all the women about what characters they're playing. Let's start with you, Paige. Who are you playing?
I'm playing Carol Stuckey, and she is the wife of the man that entered the Amish schoolhouse and shot these poor girls. So the story I go through is acceptance and finding truth and hopefully, come see it, forgiveness, and hope for the future.
You'll have a monologue for us later from her perspective.
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right. I'm looking forward to that. And Sophie, what character do you play?
I play Velda. She's one of the victims of the shooting. She's 6 years old. And so I fell in love with her because of her innocence. And she's looking forward to the future amidst all of the chaos that's going on in the story.
And of course, you're not 6 years old. So how are you playing her? How are you evoking the six-year-old?
I've made her pretty mature for her age. She's wise beyond her years, and I've just really kind of tapped into my playfulness as an actor. You know, our job is to play, and so I just made her the most mature six-year-old I could. Yeah.
Evoking the spirit of a six-year-old. We should all do that. So, and Sammy, who do you play?
I play Anna, who is Velda's 14-year-old sister. Also a victim in the school shooting. And
so it's not as much of a stretch for you for 14.
No. And the studying the Amish culture has been the main focus for me.
And so what have you learned about the Amish culture?
I suppose the difference in how we grow up and how we spend our adolescence. For most of us, it means going to school and being around friends. And really, it means the same thing, but in such a different focus for an Amish child.
So have you all done research on the Amish, Amish culture and the religion? Yes. Tell me about the information that you found.
Well,
Mrs. Page.
Yes. The very interesting part is the real life event, which in the play, they do change the names of characters, so it's not the real people. But they're based off of them. And the wife, actually, one of the most interesting parts is after this event, she actually has a lot of interviews of talking about it and that process. But researching her also, I found that she wrote a book about forgiveness about, I think it was almost 5-6 years later. And that to me was very touching. It helped me kind of connect where the journey needs to go.
So you wrote a book. I mean, you read the book.
I wrote a book.
Yeah, you wrote
a book.
But you read the book.
Right. But there's also a book that Beth wanted us all to read called by Donald Craybill, called The Amish Grace. And it's based around this event and kind of explaining how the Amish could forgive so quickly and was there not only for the Amish community, but the community in large and the gunman's family.
Well, what kind of research did you do, Sophie, for this?
I also read the same book, Amish Grace, and what I took away from it is the contrast between the Amish community and just the world at large. And there was a lot of examples in the book about tragedy happening to Amish families quite often, actually, and just how it's absolutely no question if they're going to forgive the person that committed the crime against them. There's no question. And it's amazing. And it really stirred up the world when the shooting happened because people just couldn't believe that there was no grudges held against the shooter or his family. And people just couldn't wrap their mind around it. And people got angry about it. But it's so beautiful, and it's such a difference to how I personally was raised, and I think how most of us are raised, that it's just absolutely no question that they forgive him and that they think him also as like a child of God, which I think is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it definitely is something that was the most unusual part of this story. It was all horrific, but that healing. Beth, as the director and the teacher of the Amish Project and Portland Actors Conservatory, I'm wondering what kind of discussions have you led? You know, this is bringing up with the research, but in the process of doing this play.
Well, my main focus was one of the things about the Amish is the simplicity, the simple lines, the authentic behavior, the lack of pushing or attitude or anything about it. And I thought that is such a fascinating exercise for actors because that is our goal. To speak as if it's coming out of our mouth and we are honestly walking in the shoes of, you just can't have any artifice in this story at all. And what happens in a community like that? So when something so horrific happens, I think the incident that I kept wrapping my mind around was that the Amish people don't normally take charity. and because they have a common fund and they don't have health insurance. It's not that they don't believe in doctors or anything like that, but they all go to the, but they ran out of funds when 10 little girls were shot and the medical bills and everything. And they did accept charity, but under one condition, that the gunman's wife's family was included in receiving of those funds. And that huge question, that huge, and it was without any, that's just the way it'll be. And I, you know, what is that? What is that to be like that? And I don't think we had to, because ultimately it says there is no why, it is what they do. And so it was just, I just want us all to walk in those shoes. And I think all of our conversations were just kept really simple, like, what do you want? What does that feel like? And we broke it down into small little bits and what worked one moment at a time, like they do.
Well, and that's one of the tenets. I don't know if you've heard the term restorative justice, but it's about forgiveness, and it's about also the victims having a say, but also all the, you know, the community having a say of how it impacted them. And to me, this play, just from hearing you describe it, really talks about that forgiveness and healing, which is something that usually doesn't occur after such a big tragedy. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, I didn't get to hear from Sammy what she got out of, you know, the research and maybe some of these discussions.
I also read Amish Grace, and a lot of it was very, trying to think of the best word to explain. I think healing. I mean, I guess we've used that a couple times. It's very different from how we've grown up in this world. Not necessarily different from how I was raised, but definitely the society that we see around us a lot of times doesn't seem to be very forgiving. And it's nice to know that there is an opportunity to have that healing. And it just, sometimes all that it takes is seeing someone else do it and seeing how happy and how free it makes them. And then you say, well, I want to do that. I know after, you know, doing all this research and going through the rehearsal process, it definitely day to day makes me feel much more open to taking the time to remind myself that it's okay to not hold on to something.
Well said. Thank you. I want to hear some of the excerpts from the show in a minute, but I just want to remind our listeners, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm DMA Roberts on location at Portland Actors Conservatory with founding and producing artistic director Beth Harper and Paige Rogers, Sophie Foti, and Sammy Pfeiffer. The Amish Project runs April 8th through the 24th, Thursday through Saturday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. All performances take place at Portland Actors Conservatory's Firehouse Theater. That's located at 1436 Southwest Montgomery Street in Portland. For info and tickets, visit actorsconservatory.com. And you can get that info as well as this podcast of this interview at stationstudio.org. So I understand, Paige, you have a monologue. Beth, do you want to set up this monologue?
Sure. A lot of the play, it's all about the process that people are going through about grief, which I think gets short shrift in this society, and how they're dealing with that. And from an interesting perspective of the gunman's wife, and you'll hear part of it in there, what she has in her head about what happened in that schoolroom.
All right. So we're going to hear Paige Rogers from the Amish Project.
My boys seem kind of numb. Sometimes I think they're the ones who are dead. They move around the house so quiet, sort of half-lit. The way they sit at the table, slumped over, spooning their cereal. Little ghost. And then suddenly I'm painfully aware of how alive they are. I can see the veins beneath their skin. Picture their little lungs, their little hearts pumping blood, oxygen, every moment inside their little chest right across the table. They only trust each other now. They don't dare cling to me the way they used to. Maybe I'm the ghost. I'm sure if I could see me, I'd be scared of me too. I keep my expectations low, that they sit and eat their cereal at the table. That's enough, that somehow I managed to put two bowls, two spoons, a box of Frosted Flakes, that's Joshy's favorite, a box of Cocoa Puffs, that's Jeremy's favorite, on the table with milk. And they sit and eat it, and somehow get out the door for the carpool for the sitters is a miracle to me, a total miracle. That's a laugh. I'm talking of miracles. You want to hear a miracle? I still love my husband. And I miss him. Last night, I could have sworn I saw him standing on the lawn. I got up and went to the middle of the night, and I could have sworn he was standing on the lawn, right where the grass meets the road. Standing there. I covered my eyes and I said, "Go away!" And when I looked again, he was gone.
Very well done.
Thank you.
Very well done. I was wondering, as a part of that, that was from the Amish Project, which is at Portland Actors Conservatory. And I was wondering, Beth, what discussions, I mean, you can't help but talk about gun violence. I mean, this whole play really centers on this horrific event where five Amish girls were killed. Where does this play address the gun violence itself?
Well, it never does it directly. It shows you it personally. And that's the part that gets missing. And this year I was, and I shared this with my cast, gun violence has become such a huge issue for me. And I've been feeling so frustrated and what do you do? And like that my cup was half empty, not half full. Like I felt helpless. And then I made a choice to do one thing. And that one thing I'm really good at is art. And so I thought the best way to do it is through revealing the best of our ability down to our deepest core and our soul of our soul and our hearts of our hearts, is be able to tell this story and get people to see the human beings. And maybe that will indirectly affect how we look at guns and violence and everything. And we are doing a fundraiser for Ceasefire Oregon, and you can go to Ceasefire Oregon. I think it's .org. I probably shouldn't say. I think it's .org, and get
or .com. So what is Ceasefire?
What is that?
They're focusing on gun control, mostly focusing on Oregon and what we can do. And I think it's also a national organization too. But that's the one I researched, and I thought, yeah, what can we do? And so that's my one thing.
Are you doing any talkbacks, or you know, is there any community discussions going on?
Sunday matinee. There's a talkback, and the night Ceasefire Oregon is in the house. There will be one on that evening too. And if anybody wanted to buy the house and have one, or come, we're happy if people want to say, "Hey, we'd love a talkback." All they have to do is call us. Our show is the beauty of it. It's the most beautiful hour and 10 minutes you'll ever sit through, I think. And so it's short, and then we can talk. And that's what we need to do more of, for sure.
Well, it sounds like that if a community group is interested, they just call you and maybe do some group tickets and stuff, and you can have a talk back afterwards.
Absolutely. Anybody wants to talk to us, we'll talk back.
Well, and it is, I think, especially after a play like this, I think that there will be a lot of room for discussion, and hopefully, you know, some good can come out of it. That's certainly one of the best things about doing a theater piece like this, which is hopefully you've done some good, right? Mm-hmm. What are your, I guess, final thoughts for each of you about the impact this play has had on you? Do you want to start, Paige?
Sure. I think there's a line that I say in the show that recently kind of triggered in my head, that she says it hurts. It hurts so much, but it also helps in a way of nothing else. And I think that really describes what the audience and what the actors go through as they explore this beautiful story. That the audience, it'll hurt as you go through this journey, but in the end it will help and kind of bring up the conversations that it's going to be good in the end, but you're definitely going to feel it.
And how about you, Sophie?
The way that the play is set up, I think, is really going to tug at audience heartstrings, because you get to see and you get to meet the personalities of these two little girls that were unfortunately victims during while all the chaos is going on, you know, while Carol is dealing with the loss of her husband and just wrapping her brain around this horrible tragedy, and then you get to meet local townspeople. And so you get to see how each group of people was affected by this tragedy. And I think that makes it more personal than any other play I've ever seen. And I think the takeaway for me is that it made me step back and look at my life and look at what am I holding on to that's completely unnecessary and who can I forgive. And I hope that it makes audience members do the same.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And for you, Sammy?
I think definitely taking the time to realize perspectives of others around you and taking a moment, an hour and 10 minutes, to think to think about something different.
Yes. And Beth, what are your final thoughts for this?
My final thoughts. I hope, like everybody else, I was saying to my actors the other night, you know, we will have done our job if when they get in their car and they're driving home, they're continuing the conversation, and that it does that for them. That's what I think great art should do, and I hope they find a resonance, a human resonance somewhere within. We're not here to change anybody's mind. We're just here to reveal what it means to be human in a circumstance like this, because this happens to human beings.
And I guess it's not final, but or maybe this is, but you all sing, right, in the show?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you want to share some songs with me at all?
I think the only one we do is Farther Along.
Yeah.
Can you do it as a trio?
I want you to do the soprano line, because I actually play the tenor.
Do you want to just sing the melody with us?
I'll see if I can.
Well,
I may
I'll
have
just
it.
Do the melody.
What so song is this?
What? Farther Along. It's a old hymnal.
Right? Ready?
Yep.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along we'll know more about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
That was so lovely. That was really beautiful. One final thought. The Amish Project, presented by Portland Actors Conservatory, runs April 8th through the 24th. Hear this beautiful singing. Thursday through Saturday evenings at 7:30, Sundays at 2, performances at Portland Actors Conservatory, Firehouse Theater, 1436 Southwest Montgomery Street in Portland. Tickets available online at actorsconservatory.com or 503-274-1717. And you can get that info. And this podcast at stageandstudio.org. Director Beth Harper, thank you so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And Paige Rogers, thank you.
Thank you.
And Sophie Foti, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And Sammy Pfeiffer, thank you.
Thank you.
It's great to talk to you all at Portland Actors Conservatory. Before we go today, an announcement. Smoldering Fires by Kermit Frazier, directed by William Earl Ray, is at Passon Art Theater. It's a drama that applies the ideas and struggles of the civil rights movement to contemporary city life from a youth perspective today, who are not just dealing with the racist conflicts of the 60s, but are wrestling with the violent attitudes of their own communities. In Smoldering Fires, youth take a stand in taking back their community against the odds of being outnumbered by
their peers. Passin' Art Theater presents Smoldering Fires by Kermit Frazier, directed by William Earl Ray. It's at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center that's located at 5340 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. The show runs through April 10th. Show times are Friday, Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday matinees at 3 p.m. For more info, go to boxofficetickets.com, or you can visit passinart.net, or you can call 503-235-8079. That's 503-235-8079. And they have group rates available, and you can use this code, FIRE, for a group rate discount. And one more shout out. Oregon Children's Theater presents The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane. With a simple set and live music, this is an adaptation of Kate DiCamillo's best-selling book. Here's a trailer for the show.
Once there was a China rabbit named Edward Tulane who was loved by a little girl. On an ocean journey, the rabbit fell overboard and was rescued by a fisherman. The rabbit was buried under garbage and unburied by a dog. He travelled with hobos and, for a short time, was a scarecrow. Once there was a rabbit who danced in a garden with the daughter of the woman who had loved him at the beginning of his journey. As they danced in circles, it was almost as if they had wings and were flying. Once, oh marvellous once, there was a rabbit who found his way home.
The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane runs through April 24th at Oregon Children's Theater. For more info, visit octc.org. And that's it for Stage and Studio. I'll have this show online later today at stageandstudio.org, as well as on iTunes. Like us on facebook.com/stage_studio. You can always tweet me at @StageTheLetterNStudio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, and the time is 11:27. Coming up at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Andre Middleton interviews comic artist Stephen Christian about his work, The Island of Illtopia, a visual art series that follows the lives of three characters.
Tune in Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. for The Melting Pot, featuring DJs, producers, and electronic artists from around the globe. Win tickets and stay up on events each and every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on The Melting Pot, right here at 90.7 FM KBOO.
KBOO at the Clinton is our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. This month, on Thursday, April 14th at 7 p.m., KBOO at the Clinton will show Who Are My People? Who Are My People is a documentary film which follows four Native American elders as they seek to preserve cultural resources, including large geoglyphs from the building of renewable energy facilities in California's Mojave Desert. Director Robert Lundahl will be in attendance. Again, that's Who Are My People? Thursday, April 14th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The music playing is Interstellar Dub by DJ Mad from Portland's label Zam Zam Sounds, and this is Art Focus on KBOO Radio. I'm your host, Andre Middleton. Today, my guest is Stephen Christian. But first up, some local art news. We Are Proud to Present has been extended through April 10th at the Artist Repertory Theater. A multiracial cast of six idealistic actors set out to improvise a story of the first colonial genocide of the 20th century in Africa. They get lost in the reality of the undertaking. The unusual presentation, humor, and inevitable discomfort of this provocative new play directed by Kevin Jones. Well, I saw this production last week, and it was unlike anything I had ever seen before. I heartily recommend seeing this with a companion, because you'll want to talk and reflect on this long after the final scene. The cinema